ADI's recorded Theater of the Mind.
And now, Pursuit. Dark world. And then, the man from Scotland Yard, the famous Inspector Peter Black in the dangerous, relentless pursuit. When man hunts man. In just a moment, tonight's story.
This is the International Year of Disabled Persons. Is this the year you get involved? Call the office of your mayor or county commissioner for more information.
A public service message.
Now, with Ben Wright starred as the famous Inspector Peter Black of Scotland Yard, we bring you tonight's story, Pursuit of the Loch Ness Killer.
Sergeant Moffitt and I had left King's Cross Station at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was past eight that evening when we arrived by motor car in the village of Bannock in the north of Scotland. We had been called there by the Chief Constable of Inverness to invest a murder which had taken place 2 days before. A car had been dynamited on the road and its driver, James Scorgie, immediately killed. I left Moffitt to arrange for rooms at the one and only inn and then went to the police station. As I came in, I saw two uniformed men playing draft at a desk.
Ah! Oh, now how many times must I tell you, you cannot make that move, McNeish.
I thought you were in the looking.
I was.
Aye, so I see.
Sergeant Ross?
Aye.
How do you do? I'm Chief Inspector Black of Scotland Yard.
Aye.
I think the Chief Constable phoned you that I was coming.
Aye, he did.
Yes. I understand that you've had a spot of trouble here.
A spot? We have, but it is taken care of nicely now, thank you.
Oh?
I rang the chief earlier this afternoon. We've caught the man that did the dirty work, so thank you very much, but you can go back to England.
Oh. Good show.
Aye, is it not?
Constable McNeish, I'll thank you to remember your place. Fasten your button. You're on duty.
All right, you do not have to flash your beard.
Has the man confessed?
Nay, but he will. I know Gordon Sim.
I wonder if I could have a word with him.
Not much use. He's not likely to say anything. Even if he is a murderer, he's a Scot.
Yes. But of course, I don't doubt that you've got your man, but for my record, you understand, I do have to write a report for the Chief Constable.
All right. McNeish, get the key.
You've got it.
No, I haven't. I gave it to you.
Oh? Oh, that's right. So you did. Where did I put it? Here is the little beastie.
Sim will be taken to Inverness in the morning. There's no use going the next. Besides, the car's not behaving.
I understand.
Shouldn't have wake him up. He didn't get much sleep last night.
That's his own fault. Gordon Sim, wake up. Put on the light, McNeish.
Aye.
Gordon. Noosh!
He's gone, Russ. He's gone.
Yeah. Looks as though somebody took the bars out of the window for him. Well, Sergeant, if you don't mind, I think I'll stay for a little while. Is about a quarter of a mile south and west of Loch Ness. It's small enough to be visible on very few maps. But in common with other villages, it lives, breathes, and contains a full quota of passions. It remained to be seen whether Bannock also contained an escaped murderer. We left Constable McNish to search and question the villagers, and then Moffitt, Sergeant Ross, and I drove toward the lake and the cottage of Gordon Sims.
I didn't think he's such a fool, but he might have gone home to Maggie.
Oh, his wife?
Aye.
How did you find out?
Find out? Oh, that he murdered James Scroggie.
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't difficult. Everyone knew he'd had words with Scroggie. Everyone knew he kept dynamite on the place.
But you didn't arrest him immediately after the car was blown up?
No. I had my suspicions, but I wouldn't act until I found the proof.
Ah.
I found it this morning. Sims' dynamite was gone. He wouldn't tell what he'd done with it. His wife didn't know. Then one of the villagers remembered seeing him skulking about James Scroggie's house 3 days ago. It was at night.
And so you arrested him?
Aye.
What about the car?
If you mean, did I find traces of dynamite? No. But there wasn't much left of anything.
Yes. Right.
The house is set back from the road. We'll have to take the path from here.
That's the lake through the trees there?
Oh, aye. If the moon comes through, you can almost see the other side.
I don't think I'd like to live up here, sir.
Why, Mubbitt?
It's too still like for me. What's that?
The Loch Ness Monster, Sergeant.
What? No, it's a loon, Mubbitt. By the way, Ross, what about our old friend, the monster? Is he or isn't he?
There's some that say they've seen it.
Have you?
I don't know. Once I thought... Oh, well, you know what shadows can do, Inspector.
Lonely place to live.
For those who are lonely, it might be.
There's some light in there.
If you don't mind, Inspector, I'll do the talking for us all. I know Maggie.
Yes, of course.
Perhaps I'd better go around the back in case he's in there and try to make a run for it.
You can if you want to, Sergeant, but you'll find it a wee bit wet. The back's the lake.
I'll be glad to shut up this place, sir. And that's a fact.
You're not a nature lover, Moffitt.
Well, have a look at that light, sir. Would you be? Nasty black thing. Is that just wait?
Hello, Maggie.
What do you want, John Ross? Policeman Ross.
No, no, Maggie. It's no my fault, you know.
Perhaps you've come to arrest me now.
Nay, it is Gordon we want.
Gordon? You took him away with you, your very self.
He got out.
He didn't.
Aye.
Well?
These are policemen from London. Chief Inspector Black and Sergeant Moffitt. Chief Constable at Inverness called them up. So you see, Maggie, it is a serious thing.
Aye. Murder is a serious thing.
If you've seen aught of Gordon, will you tell me?
Nay.
I'll have to search them.
Then you'll have to search. Mind you, John Ross. I'm not inviting you.
You better stay out here, Mother. Keep a sharp eye out.
Roger.
There was a low peat fire burning in the hearth. A single oil lamp flickered on the sideboard, and the woman who stood next to it was gaunt but not unpretty in its light. I remained with her while Sergeant Ross searched the other rooms. We could hear him opening cupboards, moving about.
He didn't do it.
How do you know?
I've lived with him for 15 years. I know.
What about the dynamite?
I don't know.
He wouldn't have been hiding in the loft, would he, Maggie?
Why don't you look?
I'm going to. And you're a foolish, foolish woman for obstructing the law.
Where is he, Mrs. Sims?
Why should I know that?
Well, if you do know, you can't help him this way.
I have nothing to say.
Would you like a cigarette, Mrs. Sim?
No, thank you. I don't...
Really? I had 3 cigarette stubs in here.
They belong to Gordon.
Ah.
I haven't cleaned the ashtray since this morning, since he was taken.
I see. Would you mind telling me what it was your husband and James Scroggie quarreled over?
Oh, it was a little thing. A very little thing, just a pair of oarlocks.
Oarlocks?
Aye. Gordon lent him the boat 2 weeks ago. When James got it back, he kept the oarlocks. He said they were his own.
And that was all?
Yes.
He's no inside the house, then. No, Maggie Sim. For the last time, be a good, sensible woman. Has he come here to the next?
I am not...
Moffitt.
Moffat! You all right? Moffat!
He was standing just outside with... Sergeant!
What's the matter?
Go inside, Maggie. You'll be less help here than you were before. Go inside.
Moffat!
Oh, he'd have heard it. I'll look in the trees over there.
Aye. Look!
What?
On the lake!
No. No, it's gone.
What did you see?
I don't know. It was a shadow. And it wasn't.
Oh, well, blast the shadows and blast your lake. It's Moffat I'm worried about. We separated and went in search of Moffat. I looked back to the cottage once as I neared the line of trees, and I saw Mrs. Sim outlined against the doorway. Her head was turned to the lake. Then she was gone. 5 minutes later, I found Moffat lying on the bank a few feet from the lake. I signaled to Sergeant Ross, and the sound of the police whistle was alien in that wild Highland country.
Oh!
Oh, that's better, Moffat. Can you sit up?
Oh!
Easy, man. Take it easy.
Oh! Where did it go, sir?
It? What?
I don't know. I mean, there was something. It must have come out of those bushes, sir.
Over there?
Yes, sir.
No, but there's nothing. It couldn't. The brush is growing out of the lake, most of it. Moffat, where were you?
Well, sir, I was keeping an eye out, and then I heard something. A dragging noise, like...
Dragging?
Something in the water.
I see, and then you came over to investigate.
I couldn't see a blessed thing. Don't mind telling you, I heard the wind up. And I was saying, the monster in the light.
Well, the Loch Ness monster didn't give you that bash on the head, Moffat.
Oh, I don't know what it was, sir. I remember my back was to them bushes and when something hit me.
What's that? Sergeant Ross, I imagine.
Oh. You found the man. Good, good. Are you alive, Sergeant?
Now, what kind of a ruddy question is that?
Ross, something or somebody attacked him. I'll tell you about it on the way back to the village.
We're going back? What about Sim?
I don't know, but we'll take his wife. She knows something.
That's a point. Maggie can be awful obstinate.
Hmm. Can you manage now, Marty?
Yes.
Come along, Maggie.
So you're really going to lock me up, John Ross?
Nay, but I'm going to lodge you with Mrs. Voss, where we can know where to find you.
Sully, man.
You try to calm yourself, Mr. Bucky. Tell me again now, slowly. No, wait a bit. Here's the sergeant. Tell it to him.
What's the flash, McNish?
Mr. Bucky, you talk to him. I cannot make out a word of what he's saying. Here. Hello, Maggie.
Hello, Mr. Bucky. This is Sergeant Ross speaking.
Oh, Ross, he's a murder. A murder. That's what it is.
Slowly, man, slowly. Somebody dead?
Murder.
Oh,
Ross,
you've
got to come over.
Where? Who is it?
Andrew Stewart, in Vigani Road. I saw him myself.
All right, I'll be out in a few minutes. Don't touch anything.
Trouble, Sergeant?
Hey, trouble. You hear this, Maggie Sim? 'Tis another murder your garden's done. Andrew Stewart this time.
No, it's not true.
You didn't believe a word of it, Maggie. I've killed no one.
Gordon, Sim!
Gordon.
You were in the cell. How?
Same way I got out. I came back a few minutes ago. Now, I couldn't have very well be in two places at one time, could I?
Second act of Pursuit of the Loch Ness Killer.
Gordon Sim was a tall man of about 45 with a long and friendly face. He didn't look like the sort of man who would commit murder, but then neither did Dr. Crippen. I examined the cell window, and it was obvious that he had needed no outside help to escape. The remaining bars were easily moved in the decomposing cement. Constable McNish rode off on his bicycle to the Invergarry Road on the outskirts of the village. We questioned Sim.
Where did you go, Gordon?
Out. Don't you think it's rather useless to go on in this way? You'll have to be held accountable for another murder, you know.
Another? I haven't done one yet. And I didn't expect to in this life.
Why did you come back?
I respect the law. There was a wee bit business to attend to. It was attended to. I come back.
Did you go to your cottage?
No.
Where did you go then?
I came back here.
You did not go out to the Invergarry Road and murder Andrew Stewart?
I have naught against Andrew, nor any man.
I'll have to put the handcuffs on you, Gordon.
If you must.
Gordon, you've got to tell me.
Maggie, there's nothing to say. It'll be quite all right. You'll see.
Moffitt was left in Bannock to stand guard over the prisoner, and Sergeant Grass and I drove to the scene of the latest crime. When we got there, McNeish was standing beside the body, and an elderly farmer carrying a gnarled walking stick was waiting with him.
That's the way I found him, Mr. Ross, lying at the side of the road, just as he is now. Oh, a terrible sight indeed.
What were you doing out, Mr. Bucky, if you don't mind my asking?
I didn't mind, Mr. Ross. One of the cows she's calved. I'd walked to the village for some more medication. It was on my way back. I found this.
And you met no one on the road, coming or going?
No one at all, except, of course, Mr. McNish on his bike. He stopped me to ask if I'd seen Gordon Sintonix. I was on my way home.
Aye, that's right.
Has anything been taken, do you know, Constable?
Hey, not a robbery. He's got a couple of pounds in his pocket. A watch, too. Gold.
Tell me, how close are we to the lake?
It's just over the raise. 100 yards, maybe more.
Where did Stuart live?
Oh, that's his farm down the road. You can see the lights through the trees. Ah, there.
Yes. Does he live alone?
Aye, except for a man who comes to help with the work. But he's off at Invergarry for to get married.
I see. Well, look, I think we'd better move the body to the village. There's not much more we can do tonight. Come on, let's get out of this wind. The next morning, Moffitt and I examined the remains of the car which had been taken to the local garage. It was an old Morris Cowley, owned for 23 years by the late James Scroggy.
Can't find any extra wire, sir. Nothing attached to the ignition.
Didn't have a self-starter, so we can dismiss that. Oh, hello.
What's that, sir?
It looks like bits of string. Now, where do they go?
Underneath, I'd say, sir.
Yeah, all right. Yeah? Dynamite must have been fastened under here.
Well, it couldn't go off it unless there was a fuse, could it, sir?
No. Wait a minute. Moffitt, hand me that spanner, will you?
Yes, sir. Here you are.
Thank you. Oh, so that's it. Yes, I've seen it before. Very neat.
What's it?
Fuse is run back in the exhaust manifold.
Here.
Won't ignite unless the car is running.
But he must have driven it quite a way before he blew up.
Oh, he could. But if a spark touched that fuse, and sooner or later it had to. Yes. Somebody knew quite a lot about the operation of a car to work this out. Now we've got to find out how mechanically minded Gordon Sim is. He wasn't. True, he had dynamite at his cottage, but he had never driven a car in his life. And as far as we could learn, had no knowledge of their operation. Yet, on purely circumstantial evidence, the prisoner was guilty of both crimes. I asked Sergeant Ross to let me interview the wife again, alone.
What is the use of this?
Do you want to see your husband hanged?
No. No, he won't.
If he is not guilty, he won't.
He isn't.
Will you tell me why he had dynamite in his possession?
I'll tell you nothing at all.
Mrs. Sim, you realize that once he's taken to Inverness and formally charged, he'll either tell the truth...
I can't.
Why?
I promised Gordon.
Then I can't help you.
No, please. It was against the law. That's why.
Against the law?
Gordon wanted to build a dock for the boat instead of bringing it on the shore. He was going to use the dynamite to make the inlet wider. He didn't want to go through all the trouble of licenses and waiting for permission.
And that's all?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did anyone else know? James Scorgie, perhaps?
No. Nobody knew but me. That argument with James was about the Orlocks. Truly it was. He wouldn't have killed James or anyone.
Do you know who did kill him and killed Andrew Stewart? Mrs. Sim?
No. I don't.
Your husband could tell us.
No. No.
Somebody stole that dynamite from your cottage. And you know who it is, don't you?
I don't. No.
All right, Mrs. Sim. That'll be all. I spent the next 2 days in Bannock with Sergeant Ross. Together, we questioned the villagers and investigated the background of the persons involved. I went to the lake where Moffat had been attacked. And when a small boat was found hidden in some rushes near the Invergarry Road, I was fairly sure that we had our answer. Mrs. Sim was brought back to the police station.
Sit there down, Mikey.
Now, Mrs. Sim, to start at the beginning. During the war, you were employed at a factory in Inverness. Were you not?
Yes.
At that time, you met a man who later moved here to Bannock. His name was James Scorby.
Yes.
Yes. Now, your husband was fighting in North Africa at the time.
Yes.
You didn't tell your husband about this when he returned?
No. I was ashamed. I did not. I love Gordon. But he did find out.
Go on.
That's all.
Oh.
McNeish, bring in the prisoner.
I...
No, no, I can't. No.
Too late now, Maggie. I'm sorry. Maggie, what have you told them?
She's told us about James Scroggie, Mr. Sim.
Oh?
Then you, Gordon.
I did it. It was nothing to do with her.
No, that's not true.
The factory in Inverness was a motor assembly works. Was it not, Mrs. Sim?
Yes. When the war was over, Jim Scorky settled down here. He wanted to take up again. He threatened to tell Gordon. I stole the dynamite and put it under his car.
That's not true.
No, Gordon. What's the use?
Maggie, lass.
Why did you go to her that night when you broke out, Mr. Sim?
To make me promise not to tell. He wanted to take the blame. He knew about James Scorby. He found out what I'd done.
I'm sorry about your sergeant, but you had me putting the boat in the water. I had to hit him. I didn't want you to know I'd been to see Maggie.
You rode to the other side of the village?
Nay. I thought it would be safer to come back that way.
What happened?
I ran into Andrew Stewart on the road as I was walking back. He tried to stop me. Thought I was escaping, I suppose. I had to hit him, too. But when Andrew fell, he broke his head open on a stone. She's a good woman. She was lonely in the war, that's all. I'd have done the same thing to Scorby myself. The only reason I found out was when I went over to get my Orlocks back, I saw Maggie putting the dynamite under the car.
You saw that? You knew then what was going to happen?
I'm equally guilty. I knew. That's why I was willing to take the blame.
It was a strange trial. Neither had criminal minds, yet both had criminal intent. Their defense was pathetically simple, and possibly in some other countries might have been justified. However, murder had been done, and both were convicted. Pursuit, and the pursuit is ended.